Good day to all of you. It's St. Kieran's. It's so lovely to be with you again today. And I'd like to thank Reverend Mike for the great opportunity I have to just share God's word with you today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege we have of coming together in your name. I want to pray for every single person listening to this message that, Lord, not only will you bless them, but thank you that you've got them in the palm of your hand. Amen. I was thinking about the world, as many of us do at this stage, thinking about the elections coming up. We're living in times of war and crime and illness, and I suppose the list can go on and on. And while I was thinking about it, I was reminded about Isaiah 41 verse 10, and it starts off with these two words, fear not. It's very interesting to note that these two words are repeated something like 365 times in the Bible. How about you and I every morning for the next 365 days getting up and starting the day with fear not? And it goes on in that particular scripture to say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Other translations say of a sound mind. I heard a lovely story from one of the Sunday school teachers. She said she was busy teaching the kids about fear and being grateful or gratitude. And she asked the children, is there anybody who can share whether they had any fear or they've been grateful for something? And this little boy with glasses stood up and said he wanted to share and thank God that he's got glasses. And she said to the little boy, why are you thanking God for your glasses? And he simply said to her, well, first and foremost, the boys don't fight with me and the girls don't kiss me. I was picked up a book recently called Giants of the Faith. And in it, they mention a whole lot of people like Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Ruth, Samuel, David, Elijah, Daniel, Esther, Peter, Rahab, and it goes on and on. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter in verse 32, it says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samuel, and the prophets. And I thought, wow, that's strange. Barak is one of the people of faith. But as far as I can remember, when he wouldn't go to war by himself, but he needed to have a lady with him. And that lady's name was Deborah. So I decided to actually have a look at this other person that was in Barak's life called Deborah and find out more about who and what she is and what she wasn't. And to my amazement, I discovered that there are something like 9 different prophetesses in the Bible. And the prophetesses' names are Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, and wife of Uzziah. Now, that I found very interesting because they don't mention her name. They just call her the wife of Uzziah. Then there was Anna, who was around when Jesus was a baby and brought to the temple. And then we go on to read about the 4 virgin daughters of Philip, who were also prophetesses. Just want to pause again because often in the Old Testament, we read about priests and prophets. And just to remind us that the priest's duty was to represent the people before God. They were there to represent the people before God. The prophets on the other side was to represent God to the people, was to represent God to the people. And the role of the prophet was so vital in God's working that in Hebrews 1 verse 1 we're reminded, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Amos himself simply says in 3 verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his people and prophets. And it's very beautiful to note as well that for 23 times in the Old Testament it mentions my servant, the prophets, my servants, the prophets. So to find out about a bit more about Barak and Deborah, we have to go to the book of Judges. Now, I find the book of Judges to be one of the saddest books in the Bible. And the reason I say that is simply that so often we read these words, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so it was no different in Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, where we read again these words, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And now that Iad was dead, we simply take note of this chap called Ehud. Who was he? He was an Ezraite, he was a judge, he was a deliverer, and he was a warrior. And as we look at his life a bit more, he delivered Israel from 18 years of oppression from the Moabites. And he was a left-handed man. And it's very interesting to note that he tricked the king of Moab and killed him. And the net result of that was that Israel had peace for 80 years. Now, that sounds also amazing. But one of the sad things is that the peace obviously brought compromise and they turned away from God. So in verse 2 we read, "So the Lord sold them, the Israelites, into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And there was Caesarea, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron, and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help." So often, isn't it? Only in times of trouble we cry to the Lord. Now, Deborah, a prophet, wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Isn't that amazing? She was a woman and she was leading Israel. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramoth and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to have their disputes decided. And then she sent for Barak. And he said to him, and he was the leader of the army, and she said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you," that's Barak, "go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them to the up to Mount Tabor. And I will lead Syria, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon Valley or river, and I will give him into your hands." And this is one of the crazy things about Barak. Barak said to her, "I will go. If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." And she turns around to Barak, this leader of or commander of the army, and says the following words to him, "Certainly, I will go with you." So I decided that I'd just share one or two things about Deborah with you today. So what's in a name? A name usually indicates the person's character, and as somebody also once said, their prophetic destiny. And Deborah in Hebrew means, listen to this, so lovely. Hebrew means honeybee. I love that old scripture in Proverbs 16:24. It says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." You see, folk, bees are busy focusing on their appointed task. They don't deviate from that. Bees are no nonsense characters. And the interesting thing is, the result of all their hard work, we enjoy the honeycomb or the sweetness of their labor. Now, Deborah, I would like to just mention in my own words that I think she was the Iron Lady of the Old Testament. In our lifetime, I should say my lifetime, I've had the privilege of hearing and noting that of two Iron Ladies, one Margaret Thatcher of Britain, the other one was Golda Meir, and her surname is quite interesting. The word Meir means one who shines. And listen to this, she was born in Kiev, Ukraine, and the family had to flee because of the Jews weren't welcome there. They fled to the USA, and eventually, after her marriage, she immigrated to Israel, and she was president from 1969 to 1974. So back to Deborah. Just remember that Israel was under severe oppression for 20 years when she was on the scene. She was remarkable. She stood out for her unwavering faith and trust in God. She relied on his divine plans with steadfast conviction. Deborah is the only woman who is both a prophet and a judge. Isn't that interesting? Alongside two other men in Israel's history, and the other two men were Moses and Samuel. I believe there's so much that we can glean and enjoy about the life of Deborah. I'd like to just pick up a couple of them and just mention them. The first one, wisdom. People came to her for counsel and guidance. She was approachable. The people of Israel came to her. She was sought after. She was sensitive to God. She knew God. She spent time with him and she understood what he wanted for his people. She was a leader to leaders. Barak is the military leader of the Israelites. He's a man of high powered position, overseeing thousands of men, and Deborah leads Barak in his decision of making progress. She then accompanies him into battle, continuing to instruct him on what to do even in battle. And she was courageous. She was willing to go into battle with Barak. And the sixth thing that I picked up about her, and she understood her role of leadership. She understands that her leadership comes from God, and she is obedient. Nothing inhibits her from doing what she believes God is calling her to do. And she had a heart with the people. I think one of the things I've really enjoyed about just rereading life and story of Deborah is that she had all these qualities, but she almost had a mom's heart. And I just loved that part of her. She inspired leaders. She took care of the people deeply, took care of the people, and her heart was with them. I heard a funny little story recently of a 12-year-old boy who came home from school one day, and he discovered that his mom was sick in bed. And he said to him, "Well, what's wrong?" And she said, "I haven't been feeling well, and I decided to stay in bed today till I get well." So the boy said to him, "Mom, don't worry about supper. I'll be happy to carry you to the stove." Well, what can we say about moms? And she, the eighth thing that I picked up about her, about Deborah, she recognizes who gets the honor. When the battle is over and the people are rejoicing, Deborah acknowledges God by giving him the praise. And I just so love these few points on Deborah. But I just want to summarize in closing that Deborah had a great fruitful harvest. She didn't neglect or compromise her call from God. As unusual as it was in her time, Deborah was a woman of influence, and her spiritual mantle created an atmosphere of courage for both men and women. God favored her, and that is seen most clearly in the Bible's last line about her ministry. Remember that when she judged Israel, it was under the severe oppression for 20 years. The end result was a double portion of victory. In Judges chapter 5, verse 31, we read, "And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Isn't that a great blessing? And so my challenge to myself and to you this week ahead us, let us be like Deborah this week. Maybe we can be also like the bees, be focused on praying for ourselves. And that's also okay to do, to pray for our families and their children and our children, to pray for work and pray for our church, and to ask God to just be with them in a special way. So let us pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you, God, that we can just enjoy your word and just think of Deborah. What a remarkable lady is. And I want to thank you for every lady that's ever come across or influenced our lives, and particularly remember our moms as well. And so today the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace this day and night and forever, evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed week. Amen.